Now, one must emphasize at the very outset that one cannot possibly understand the Dalai Lama, what he is or who he is, his nature and his functions, apart from the general background of Tibetan Buddhism, and especially the background of the Gelugpa school, to which in particular he belongs, or to which in particular he is affiliated. I remember some years ago, when the Chinese originally invaded Tibet, and again at the time of the Lhasa uprising in 1959, the newspapers, at least in India, I don't know about this country, but the newspapers in India contained all sorts of rather grotesque references to the Dalai Lama, which showed quite clearly they had no idea of his status or his nature or his function. Some newspapers, some reporters, for instance, would refer to the Dalai Lama as the living Buddha, which of course he isn't. Others would refer to him as the priest king. I remember headings in the newspapers of India, priest king flees to India, or something of that sort. And some newspapers, some reporters, even went so far as to refer to the Dalai Lama as the Buddhist Pope, and to the Potala as the Buddhist Vatican, and to some of the incarnate lamas as the Buddhist princes of the church, and things of that sort, showing that they hadn't got really the faintest idea of who or what the Dalai Lama really was or really is. Now, I've suggested one cannot understand the Dalai Lama apart from a background not only of Tibetan Buddhism in general, but of the Gelugpa school or Gelugpa order in particular. And this Gelugpa school itself, the fourth, the last, the latest, the newest of the four great schools of Tibetan Buddhism, this school one cannot possibly understand apart from the character and the career of its great founder, that is to say, Tsongkhapa. Tsongkhapa is undoubtedly one of the greatest figures in Tibetan Buddhism. Possibly, he is the most characteristic. We might feel that Milarepa is perhaps even more highly spiritual than Tsongkhapa, and Milarepa is certainly very representative of one strand in the total Tibetan spiritual tradition. But I think if we want a really representative figure, a figure that embodies the characteristic spiritual or religious genius of the Tibetan people, I think we have to recognize that that figure is Tsongkhapa. One might even go so far as to say that not only is Tsongkhapa one of the greatest figures in Tibetan Buddhism, but even one of the greatest figures in the entire range, the entire history of Buddhism itself. Tsongkhapa is known primarily as a great reformer of Tibetan Buddhism, one who swept away many abuses. He is known also as a great organizer, one who unified the Sangha to a great extent, who imposed a unified discipline, and so on. He is also known as a scholar saint of the very highest distinction. Often you get saints who are not scholars, and of course only too often you get scholars who are by no means saints. But Tsongkhapa was that rather rare combination, a scholar who is a saint, a man of saintly life, and a scholar and a saint who also at the same time is a scholar. And both of these, Tsongkhapa combined, we may say, almost to the highest possible pitch of perfection. And in addition to this, he was a very voluminous author, a very voluminous writer who produced manuals and textbooks innumerable, as we shall see in some detail a little later on. But above all, in the estimation of the Tibetan people, in the estimation of the Gelugpa school in particular, Tsongkhapa is not just a great reformer, not just a great organizer and administrator, not even just a great scholar and a great saint and a voluminous author. For them, he is above all one of the bodhisattvas, or at least a manifestation of one of the bodhisattvas. Traditionally, Tsongkhapa is regarded as a manifestation a very special manifestation of the Bodhisattva Manjushri. And Manjushri, as many of you know, I'm sure, is the Bodhisattva of wisdom par excellence. He is associated especially with the perfection of wisdom teachings. And this is the reason why, in Tibetan Buddhist iconography, when you encounter tankas, that is to say painted scrolls, and images representing Tsongkhapa, he is shown with the attributes and with the insignia of Manjushri. You see, first of all, this rather characteristic, this rather typical Tibetan scholar saint seated there in his Tibetan monastic robes and his tall yellow cap, about which we shall have a word or two to say later on. And then, as it were, almost growing out of his shoulders, rather like two little wings or two lotus flowers, and on one lotus flower is the flaming sword of Manjushri, the sword which cuts us under the bonds of ignorance, and on the other, the book, the scripture, of the perfection of wisdom. So these two insignia, these two attributes of the Bodhisattva Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom, Tsongkhapa bears in this way. And this indicates that he is regarded as a manifestation on the earthly plane of Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom, or as overshadowed, as it were, by this great archetype of spiritual wisdom, the Bodhisattva Manjushri, or Manjugosha. Tsongkhapa, we may say, on account of the force of his personality, on account of his great spiritual genius, his vast organizational ability, left a permanent imprint, a permanent stamp, if you like, on the whole of Tibetan Buddhism. And I personally feel it's a very great pity that the name and the career and the work and the life of Tsongkhapa are not better known outside Tibet. Inside Tibet, of course, they are very, very well known indeed. There's no Tibetan Buddhist who hasn't heard the name of Tsongkhapa, who is not familiar with his picture, his appearance, his writings. But outside Tibet, unfortunately, his name is hardly ever mentioned. The Buddhists of Ceylon and Burma and Thailand have, I'm sure, in practically all cases, if not indeed in all cases, not heard the name of Tsongkhapa. And the same goes probably for the great majority of the Buddhists of Japan. And I'm equally sure that even in this country, even though people here do study a lot about Buddhist history and literature and so on a comparative basis, here also I'm sure that very few Western Buddhists, very few English Buddhists are in a position to state very clearly what the significance of the life and work of Tsongkhapa was and indeed still is. If we want to introduce any sort of comparison between Tsongkhapa and comparable figures in our Western Christian tradition, we could well say that Tsongkhapa is a sort of St. Benedict and St. Thomas Aquinas rolled into one. St. Benedict was the great monastic reformer, the great monk, the great founder of monasteries, and St. Thomas Aquinas, of course, was the great theologian, the great philosopher, the great thinker, and both were very saintly men. So Tsongkhapa, if we want to give a general idea, a general characterization of his activities, of his nature, or the nature of his work, he, we may say, was a sort of Buddhist St. Benedict and St. Thomas Aquinas rolled into one.